You have to let your light shine. Amen. I'm going to continue preaching tonight, teaching tonight on a new breed of Christians. Do you feel like you're part of the new breed now? After praising and worshiping the Lord? Amen. Father, I thank you again tonight. I thank you for these precious souls that came out to sit at your table. I'm asking, Father God, that they glean what you want them to glean from this teaching tonight about the new breed. And Father God, I'm asking that your angelic host be walking to and fro throughout these chairs tonight. Touch those, Father God, that needs to be touched. Change and rearrange. And Father, I thank you. Answer every heart's cry here tonight, Father. There's always somebody in the house, Father, that never says a word, but deep inside they're hurting, and they need you to come and minister to that hurt. And I'm asking you to do that tonight, Father. In Jesus' powerfully mighty name, amen. So then exercise dominion as far as your eyes can see, because God is going to give it to you. Let your eyes and ears become open. Every place where the soles of your feet will tread, the Lord will give it to you. Talking about spiritual things. There will be no more hesitation, no more walls, no more boundaries, no more limitations, no more things to keep you down. Because as far as your eyes can see, God will give it to you. You see that? There is an expanded terrain, an expanded territory, because God is opening up the pathway for you. And, you know, I keep thinking about what the scripture says, stretch out your tent pegs. And God told me that for years, stretch out your tent pegs, because there's more that God wants to give me than what I have. And I know that that entails every one of you in here tonight. There's more that God wants to give you than what you have. Aren't you tired of the enemy stealing? Well, then tell him to stop. Say, well, I have. Well, tell him again and again and again until he gets the message. 2016 is going to be a very unusual year, because you're going to see before your very eyes a finishing generation arise in the church. Now, this God showed me this finishing generation will be those working for him when Jesus returns a second time. So this generation that's here right now, starting out, will be still working for Jesus. They aren't going to quit. They aren't going to get stupid on God. They're going to be working when Jesus comes a second time. This will be a new revived generation. You know, that's us too, saints. God is reviving us. He's taking away all the old junk out of us. He's been doing it for a couple years now, and he's making us brand new. This will be a new revived generation. So don't think it's just new people coming and that, you know, it's going to be that too. But it also includes everyone you sitting in here tonight. These will be disciples who are not wishy-washy, not flaky, a company of people who have power to finish. These people will be righteous. They will have power to finish. What's been happening over the years with the church leaders or evangelists or whatever, they have not had the power to finish the race. They've done something along the way to cause them to be stopped. They will have a new measure of quality, not just quantity. This will be a finishing generation, a company of disciples of sons and daughters that will arise. These people have been waiting for something to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to touch them, and there is going to be a new thing that is going to happen in their heart. God is going to give them a new heart. He's going to give them a new passion and a new desire. Something is going to happen. There is going to be a new atmosphere. Remember, a couple months ago, I said there's something going on in the atmosphere. Something has changed. We've entered into that new atmosphere, saints of God. We really have. Everybody in this house has entered into the new atmosphere. It is going to cause these people to suddenly sit up and rise up. No longer will they rise and fall, rise and fall, and rise and fall, and have all kinds of misunderstandings and fears and confusion. Did you hear that, what you just read? No longer will they rise and fall, rise and fall, and rise and fall, and have all kinds of misunderstandings and fears and confusion. There is a synergizing of a generation that will begin to come in 2016. This generation will come together with new strength and new understanding. This generation will suddenly click together and connect together. See, they'll click together and connect together. They will suddenly become committed to one another and covenant one with another. The power of God is going to cause a synergy and the power of one to become a reality. As I was writing that, I thought about, I used to see this eye all the time, and I said, God, what is that eye? And he says, it's me. I'm looking to and fro for those who will serve me. I haven't seen that eye for over a year now. So, see, I know that God has his new breed, and he's training that new breed to do the powerful works that he needs done in this generation. Amen. The church will not be disintegrated and segregated. It is going to come together by the hand of God. It's going to come together by the hand of God. I see the hand of God holding these people together and bringing them together. God is going to put brick upon brick and wall against wall. He's going to put pillars in between the walls. He's going to assemble a glorious body of believers. The hand of God is going to touch those who are lame so they will be healed. He's going to cause that which is out of joint to be put into joint, that which is out of place to be put into place, that which is misfit to be fitted in rightly, so that they could be held together. God is touching the body of believers and healing them. Now let's stop there. By healing them, I mean spiritually. Healing them of all the malfunctions of what God would have them to do. So don't start thinking about, oh, God's healing my body. He does that too. But what God is talking about here is he's going to heal us of all the spiritual junk that has come against us. You know, that really was demonic spiritual junk. Let's put it that way. I see the Spirit of God bringing reformation and restoration. God has spoken to me and told me he's doing this. You know, he told me that about a year ago. This is what he's doing. He is bringing reviving and refreshing and healing into the body of Christ. Churches everywhere are going to begin to come together. There's going to be a holding together, framed together, fitted together, held together as one. That synergy is going to come about. There are not going to be a lot of wishy-washy people whose minds are afraid of what is taking place. And see, this is what's the matter with the body of Christ. Everybody's scared to death of what's going on. And fear is not of God. You don't walk in fear. You can be aware of what's going on, but you don't have to be fearful of what's going on. These are the ones who will count the cost and say yes to God's will. These are the ones who will count the cost and say yes to God's will. And you might say yes, Lord, but God knows whether or not you really mean that yes. See, he knows your heart. These are the ones who will volunteer freely. God will gather his people in a very fresh new way. Suddenly, you know, in other words, these are the ones who will volunteer freely. These are the ones who say, God, use me. God won't have to beg, plead, and you know, and all this. They're just going to come and say, God, use me. And God knows your heart, and he knows that you really mean it, and he's going to start using you. Then when he starts using you, you think he's abusing you, and quick, and don't complain, amen, because you asked to be used. Suddenly the people are going to have a new heart. Their hearts are going to be connected to the Father's in the house of God. The hearts of the people are going to become stronger and more equipped in such a way that the strength of God will come comparably upon this generation. See that? The hearts of the people are going to become stronger and more equipped in such a way that the strength of God will come powerfully upon this generation that we're in right now. Lost my place here. Pastors must get ready, because with this rising of the people, they are going to be hungry and passionate. The people are. They are going to require new food. So the pastors must prepare materials to sow it into them, because this is going to be a hungry generation. They're going to demand more and ask for more. That is why the pastors and leaders must be competent. You just can't say, I'm Reverend so-and-so, and not have it together, because you're not going to make it. These new people will push you right out of your place, because they want the truth. They want God in all of his glory. Now, conferences are going to be packed, standing room only, because there's going to be a hunger that is going to come, because there is a famine everywhere. There's a famine for food and a famine for life and a famine everywhere for the things of God, the things of the Spirit. I am totally shocked at how many churches are not allowing the Spirit of God to move in them. They're actually saying it's not of God whenever you prophesy. I've read where people were asked to, well, they weren't asked, that people went back to them and escorted them out of their church because they just started went into the spirit and just started talking in tongues. And they said, we don't allow that in this church any longer. Churches are going to begin to break open in a powerful way as the ones that are hungry and thirsty come in. The ones who are desiring God are going to come in. They're going to come from everywhere, even from miles away and hours away. They're going to come to where the food is provided. That's why I get on you guys so much. People coming in, if they come from they're coming from a distance, they're coming because they're hungry and they need to be fed. They don't need your dumb junk. They don't need to see confusion in the house of God. They don't need to see disunity in the house of God. They need to see unity. They need to see love and compassion and grace. Are you guys getting this into your spirit? This dumb junk that goes on should never go on. How can you feed the hungry and the thirsty if you yourself are dried up and dead? Come on. A new breed of people are going to arise in the midst of us. A new company of people are going to be hungry for God. This company of people are coming from everywhere. I can hear their footsteps as they are running to the house of the Lord. I hear them saying, come, let us go to the house of the Lord, and there he will teach us of his ways. I can't wait for that to really happen. Not in just one or two churches, but all the churches, you know. These people are going to come to the house of the Lord with gladness. Oh, that's what we need, with gladness. Pastors will have no more struggles with people. The people are going to gather together and strengthen their pastors. Our struggle is going to be against principalities, against powers in high places. God will give us power to make our struggles no longer on a horizontal level. See, God told me, he said, daughter, soon you won't be fighting the people, because I'm going to bring love into their hearts and they're going to work together in unity. Pastors will not be struggling with members. Members will not be struggling with pastors, because they're going to gather together, be held together, and be strengthened so they can struggle against principalities and powers and pull down the forces of darkness. That is why there's going to be a synergy and a love that is so real. That's why God has been dealing with us. Love, 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 love. You think, oh, there's another love message. Well, the reason why you have another love message is because you're not perfected in the love walk yet. God will keep on it until you either get it or leave. He'll do one or the other. There is going to be a level of commitment that is so true, a covenant that is so established, and God will dwell in the midst of you. There is going to be a level of commitment. Commitment is one thing you don't find in the church. But God said there is going to be a level of commitment that is so true, a covenant that is so established, and God will dwell in the midst of you. For how good it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That's in your word. The Lord will command his blessing. He will command his light in the place. Churches are going to begin to look this way and feel this way because a new sense of discipleship is going to come. No longer will we have disciples who are on their own. The membership inside the church will suddenly click together. I'm waiting for that day. Amen. They will change. No longer will we have people who put themselves first and put Jesus last. These people will be coming to the house of God to make Jesus first and last, to make him everything, large and small. That'll be so wonderful. That'll be God's house. Pastors will be delighted and refreshed. When they look at their people, they will be refreshed. That'll be a good thing. Amen. I tell some of you, when I look out over the crowd and I look at some of the faces, I think I'll go sit down. Amen. But God said pastors will be delighted and refreshed. When they look at their people, they will be refreshed and will realize it is all worthwhile. I'm waiting for that day. No, I'm just joking there. They will realize it's all worthwhile because they will see the investment has paid off. So any of you in here, when you're, if you're discipling somebody and you think, oh, Lord, is this ever going to work? It's going to work. It's really going to work. So just keep working with it, because they will see the investment has paid off. The return on investment is going to become better and better. Here, see that? The return on investment is going to become better and better. You know, sometimes I look out over the crowd and I say, I see you, you know, and I can see where you're starting to slip. And I'm thinking, as I'm standing up here teaching, I think, Lord, don't let them slip and fall. I can see where you're growing weary, you know, and you're tired and you've battled so long. And I pray for you. I said, God, don't just, and when I go home, I just sit there and pray for you because I don't want you to fall because the battle is rough. I know, but the victory is right there too. Amen. When pastors look at their people, they're going to be so thrilled because they see the good ones, the quality ones, the best ones, the strong ones. So the pastor's hearts will be refreshed because they see this as worth laying down your life for. So each one of you are ministering, it's worth laying down your life for. We are going to see a whole new generation arise, and it will be a company of people who say yes to his will. That is why the day is going to come when the people are going to volunteer freely. They are going to be assembled in holy array. There's going to be a new generation waiting to be given birth, waiting to be launched, waiting to be birthed in the spirit realm. That is going to be the landscape of the church in this hour. There is going to be a new landscape. It is not going to be a rebellious people, not like those who are harder than stone and those who are strong in rebellion. The days have come when the landscape is going to change. Those who walk into the house of the Lord are going to be those whose hearts are tender. Tender, not cold stone, whose hearts love the Lord, not coming in grumbling and complaining, who have such passion and such strength that they are going to be phenomenal disciples. You know, and I'm hearing God say, with outstretched arms, I'm going to gather them to myself. I think that's wonderful. Jesus will not be ashamed to call these disciples his brother. He will not be ashamed to call them sons and daughters because they are going to stand in that kind of place. In other words, this new breed is not going to give God a bad name. They're not going to shame God because they're walking in purity of heart. That is why a new generation is rising. People will rush to church because that is where they want to, isn't that exciting? God said people will rush to church because that is where they want to be. They don't want to be anywhere else, not in the mall, not in the supermarket, not on the internet. They are going to want to get connected to people because there are some real people there, not just virtual people. In other words, they want to come into the house of God because they see us real. You were just not some make-believe thing or just somebody in there just saying we love God and we don't. They're going to see real, genuine people. That's why a lot of flaky people are going to be challenged and they are going to be burned by the fire that's going to consume everything that is not of God. This is the generation we have been waiting for. This is a generation we have been pursuing for. This is a generation God has been waiting for. God himself will be found in the midst of them. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting and talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, but this is a year it's happening. For so many years, we have been praying that God will come. For so many years, we have wanted God to stay among us. So many times he has come that he could not stay. Hello. That was like whenever that first song, he would come so far. I saw his beard and everything. And then he'd go, then he would come back. And then he'd go back. And then, there was something hindering. So that's what it's saying. So many times he has come that he could not stay. But this new generation will keep the presence of God. This generation will woo the presence of God. This generation will not only desire the presence of God, but will also have the capacity to bring his presence down to us, listen to us, and have the capacity to cause him to linger among us. Isn't that going to be wonderful when God comes down into our praise and worship and stays there all during praise and worship and we just fall out in the spirit and that's all that happens in the service. We just lay out before the Lord. God will dwell in the midst of his people. No longer will we say the move of God just came and left, but God will dwell and inhabit. See that? No longer will we say that the move of God just came and left, but God will dwell and inhabit. He will not just come to bless, but he will come to build, to stay, to dwell, to live among us. And as I was typing this and studying over and over again, you know, I thought about the ark. You know, Jesus was among them in that with that ark. And wherever he dwelt, his glory was. Amen. Wherever he dwelt, you know, wherever they put that ark, the glory was there. And the people were blessed. We will no longer be in the place where we just draw his presence for a season. Hear that? We will no longer be in the place where we just draw his presence for a season, but God will linger. For the Lord's desire is to dwell in the midst of his people. This is all scripture. But he is going to find the right people. And he is going to come down when he has found the right people. He is going to say, yes, I am coming down. He's getting us to that place where he says, yes, look at those people down there. They're worshiping me in spirit and truth. I think I'll just go down and visit today. And I'll dwell among them. Amen. And I'll stay there. Amen. But he is going to find, no, where am I at? He is not going to. I've lost my place. Where am I at, Nancy? He is not going to. What did I say? He will not just come to bless, but he will come to build, to stay, to dwell, to live among us. Excuse me. We will no longer be in the place where we just draw his presence for a season, but God will linger. For the Lord's desire is to dwell in the midst of his people. Now, I'll put my finger there. See, as I was reading that before, God said, I will do that in their homes. I will do that wherever they're seeking my face. I will go down and I will dwell with them. And I'll linger there with them. I think that's going to be awesome. So whenever you get into your prayer closet, you better make sure that you don't need to do anything outside the prayer closet. No disturbance. Amen. Because what if God comes down and dwells with you and lingers with you and you're in there for hours? What are your kids going to do? Tear your house apart. Amen. That's what I'm saying. Come on. But he's going to find the right people and he's going to come down. When he has found the right people, he is going to say, yes, I am coming down. He is not going to stay on the mountain. He is going to come down. That is why he is going to say to us, let's build the house together. Let's build the house well. Let's arise and build. Because when the house is built, he is going to come and fill it. You know, and I thought about how Moses went to the mountaintop, right? But yet Moses had the tabernacle, right? Where only Moses could go into when he come down off the mountain. Why? Because God was in that tabernacle. He was in, I'll call it a tent. He was in there. And the other people couldn't go in but Moses because he come there and he lived in that place. And I'm just so excited because I know that this is what God wants to do to us. He wants to come and dwell in our temples, you in our homes. He wants to be there. And you, when anybody comes into your home, they'll know that God is living there, dwelling there with you. Are you getting this? Your house shouldn't be a war zone. It should be a place where God can come and dwell among you. But he is going to find the right people. Is that where I'm at? I took my finger off my place again. I think I should go. Oh, okay. When the house is established, he is going to come and live and dwell in the midst of us. When this house is truly established, this church, then God is going to come and live and dwell in the midst of us. He will be with his people and he will be our God. We will be his sons and his daughters and he will be a father to us. Are you listening? No longer will there be a fear in our hearts because we will gather in the midst of his people and we will gather as one, as brothers and sisters with no malice between us. As our hearts become united together, the Lord will begin to dwell in the midst of us in an amazing way. At every service, the Lord whom we seek will suddenly appear in the temple. The Lord whom we desire will suddenly manifest in the house because the people of God have become purer and purer and cleaner and cleaner. See that? The people have been cleansed. They have been healed, delivered, and set free. This is what will attract the presence of God. Now, I've marked my place with my finger, okay? This is what's going to attract the presence of God. We will be healed, delivered, and set free. God used to dwell in this church for about 25 years. He dwelt in this church. He was constantly here. And then sin entered the church. It wasn't me, but sin entered the church. And that sin just ran rampant and just stole all of the glory that was in here. But God has come back. And God's going to remain. He's not going to leave. I have news for you. He's promised me he's come back. He's not going to leave. What's going to happen? If you're going to remain in sin, you'll leave. But God's not leaving. Something unusual is happening even right now in the spirit world. There is something that is going to cause God to rise up from above and say, I am coming down and manifest. I am coming down and manifest. You are going to see the Lord manifesting not only inside the church, but also outside of the church. People in the non-Christian world are going to have dreams. They are going to have revelations. They are going to have visions of who Jesus is. They are going to have understanding. Suddenly God will manifest revelation. Even those who are restricted by law will suddenly begin to see Jesus. Those who are in a temple will begin to see Jesus. People in the streets will begin to hear music. All kinds of supernatural things will happen because the Lord has tabernacled among his people. The Lord is dwelling in the midst of his people. When the Lord takes his rightful place and begins to rest in the temple, then out from Zion will go forth a scepter. All the enemies of God will be scattered about because we are attracting the presence of God. Amen. Sometimes in the middle of the night, people will have dreams. Non-Christians will have dreams that God is visiting the local church. Sometimes they will look at the church building and will see fire coming upon the building. Remember years ago when people come in and say, there's fire, there's tongues of fire all over the top of the building. Remember that? Well, sometimes they will look at the church building and will see fire coming upon. I don't want what I used to have, Lord. I'm just using an example. Sometimes they're going to hear music when there is no service going on. Now, Brother Brett and Sister Nancy, you can't get scared and run. There are going to be all kinds of supernatural activities going on around churches. Well, when I was standing this morning deep in worship with the Lord, something brushed my pant leg, and I thought it was Isaiah, so I looked down to see, and he wasn't nowhere around me. So I said, thank you, angel of God, for passing by and touching my pant leg. Amen? Come on. People who live in your neighborhood are going to begin to sense God's presence because God is going to come down and walk on the ground, excuse me, and the ground that we are going to dwell on is going to become holy. I know when I was first born again, God told me, he's a daughter. He said, every place you place your foot becomes holy ground because your feet are holy. So every one of us in here should have holy feet so that every place we walk becomes holy ground and you can claim it for God. All right, I said, people who live in your neighborhood are going to begin to sense God's presence because God is going to come down and walk on the ground, and the ground that we are going to dwell on is going to become holy. It is not only going to become holy within our boundaries, but is going to become holy all around and about. So it just won't be the place where you dwell that's going to be holy, because the glory of God's going to seep into every place around about you. Overflow is the word, right? People are going to become so afraid because they sense that God is in our town, God is in our city, God is in our factory, God is in our neighborhood, and something powerful is about to happen. And I don't remember the prophet who went into it, whenever he went into the town, before he ever got into the town, the glory of God went before him, and everybody knew that God was in the place before he ever got there. See, this is what should happen to you and I. You should be getting out of your car. You're going to go into someplace, everybody inside the store, all of a sudden, something's happening. What's going on? And then you walk through the door. You bring the glory of God in there with you. And God manifests himself among the people. Poop, out they go. Amen. He'll lock the cash registers in your purse so nobody will rob you. See, that's the way it should be. Before you ever walk into a place, the people inside that place should feel something's different. And then you walk through the door. Amen. Excuse me. What is being built now is attracting the presence of God in an unusual way. So what we're building right now is attracting the presence of God in an unusual way. There's going to be an awesome presence that is going to come. There's going to be an awesome drawing of the presence of God because the people have changed. The people have begun to click together and come together. A transformed people will bring in the glory of God. Let me read that one again because that was a good one. There's going to be an awesome drawing of the presence of God because the people have changed. The people have begun to click together and come together. A transformed people will bring in the glory of God. See that? As we become transformed, walk in total unity, let God change our hearts and our mindsets and everything, then we'll become one. I remember, you know, whenever we was having the glory of God in here all the time, pastors would come in here and try to tell me how to preach. And, you know, but then they said, no, then God would hit them with his glory and knock them out. And they get up and say, you're fine. You know, it's, you don't tell somebody when somebody's walking into the presence of the Lord, you don't tell them how they should do anything because it's God that's doing it, not the person. So God let people know, hey, you don't do this. You let my servant alone because it's me that's doing this thing. In that day it will be said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, how many years ago did God have us put up that scripture? Three at least? Three. Arise, shine, for your... He said that was our scripture for the year. What did we do with that? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It happened right then. I think that was around 2013. It happened right then. But now I believe in it's already started to manifest. It will be so because the word is in you and the spirit of God is upon you. That is why the whole quality of people in our churches will begin to change. See that? Because you changed. You're always, I wish my husband would change. I wish my wife would change. I wish my kids would change. Well, if you change, then they'll change. Amen. For the first time, people will say, I can trust everybody. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Won't that be wonderful? They will say they can trust the church because they can see God's glory, God's hand, and God's might. That transformation of God's people is going to be one of the most unusual things. Because people are so used to looking at people in the house of God and to look at them dumb bunch of people. And we're going to be so transformed, we're going to carry the glory of God that they'll look at us with brand new eyes and they'll see that what we have been doing has not been for naught and has not been flesh. A distinguished people is going to arise. A rare breed is going to arise. A radical opposition to corruption is going to arise. A radical opposition to corruption. The seed of the righteous will become mighty and they will manifest in the midst of us in 2016. The seed of the righteous will become mighty and they will manifest in the midst of us in 2016. God spoke and said the seed. So I'm believing the seed is our children, right? And we have an awful lot of us have wavered kids. And I'm believing God's going to bring, he told me he's going to bring them all back into the house of the Lord. And I'm standing on that. You need to stand on that too. This is a year that God said he was going to bring the backsliders, and this is a year he's going to go out and get the ones that you thought couldn't be saved. He's going to bring them into the house of God, clean them up, and they're going to serve him. God has found a people on planet Earth who will say yes to his will, yes to his plan, and yes to his purpose, a people who will volunteer freely. Heaven and earth will begin to kiss together. And I thought about Judy Jacobs' song, you know, when she sings, heaven and earth are going to kiss. Heaven will begin to come down and invade the place. Because where his people dwell, he will dwell, and it is going to become the hot spot. You know, when we start in our home, in one corner of my room, I looked up there one day during service, and here was the Jacob's ladder, and the angels were going up and down the ladder. Now, I have tried to vision that in here, and I can't see it in here. But that, you know, that happened there, but we carried it here. And I say, God, please let me see it. Then I'll know. Now, here's how it's say, dumb. God, please let me see the ladder here. Then I'll know you're with us. And he ain't going to let me see nothing because that's doubt and unbelief, right? Just know that he's here is what he's saying to me. I know he's here, but I want to see that ladder. He won't let me see it. And don't come say, I saw the ladder. I don't want to hear that. So anyhow, I said, because where his people will dwell, he will dwell, and it's going to become the hot spot. Remember how we used to be the hot spot? I don't want what we used to have, but we're going to be hotter than what we had was before. Amen. Come on. Even people in high places will begin to secretly come to you. Nicodemus will come in the middle of the night and ask for help. There will be all kinds. Now, you guys need to hear this because they're going to be coming to you guys. There will be all kinds of Pharisees and Sadducees and men in high places, politicians, and people who are rich and wealthy. They will come in to secretly consult with you because God's presence will be so real. They will know God is with you. They will know they have to come and make peace with you. They will know they have to come to see you and talk to you because you are a carrier of God's presence. See that? This is what God has said. All right. In the days of Jesus, the disciples came, but they did not have the kind of quality, but this is going to be a new season. In 2016, as you cross over to take over, you're going to see the church embrace a whole new community. It will be said that the church has been born again. Excuse me. All right, so you're going to have people come in dirty, tattered clothes. You're going to have people come in with funny hair. You're going to have people come in, you know, that are unclean. You know, your tattoos, piercings. This is what's going to come into the house of God. So you can't walk around all prissied up, perfumed up, and all that kind of stuff upped. And, you know, and then expect to be able to minister to those who, I didn't tell you to get dirty and have tattoos. I did not say that. If you get one out of here, go someplace else. But anyhow, you know, we're going to have to know that everybody that comes in the house of God is not going to smell like you do, is what I'm trying to say. They're going to have to be cleaned up. And while God has cleaned them up, we accept them just as they are, just like God did us. Amen. All right. So I think I'm in 2016. Is that where I'm at? No. All right. I said there will be all kinds of Pharisees and Sadducees and men in high places, politicians, and people are rich and wealthy. They will come to secretly consult with you because God's presence will be so real. They will know God is with you. Why do you think the president calls the top, let's just say like, I don't know, one of the top leaders of a church. You come, I need you to talk, counsel with me. The same thing's going to happen to you. They will know that they have come to make peace with you. They will know they have come to see you and talk to you because you are a carrier of God's presence. In the days of Jesus, the disciples came, but they did not have that kind of quality, but this is going to be a new season. In 2016, as you cross over to take over, you're going to see the church embrace a whole new community. It will be said that the church has been born again. There's going to be a reinventing of the church. Remember, God said it won't be church as usual. A church unusual is about to manifest in the midst of us. The church is going to be unusual the church is going to be so unusual that it is going to attract God's presence. Hey, I got an unusual bunch. So come on, Lord, keep looking. Amen. Come on. The days of struggle are going to come to an end. There will no longer be struggle on the horizontal plane between brothers and sisters in the church because God will begin to do this great work. That which was out of joint is going to be healed. That which is out of place is going to be put into place. That which is out of position is God is going to put together. The body of believers is going to be healed. Come on. I can see God healing the church in such a powerful way, bringing a total restoration so that wholeness will come back to the house. You know, God has to do that before he can drop his glory. He has to bring wholeness back into the house. When you look at people inside the house, you're going to get so excited because it's going to be a new breed. And I know I've been saying this real fast, but I'm excited about this whole thing. When God told me I was part of the new breed and said what I was going to do, that's what you're going to do too. And I wasn't asking him what he was going to do with me. He just started telling me. So guys, this pertains to each one of you. When you look at people inside the house, you're going to get so excited because it's going to be a new breed. You're going to be a new people. You are not struggling with them, and they are not struggling with you. They are not struggling with God, and they are not struggling with one another. They have total peace. Won't that be wonderful? So God can put bone to bone and flesh to flesh. You will be able to look at that place and say, "This is the house of God." I hope and I pray that this teaching about the new breed, and I did it because God said I was part of it. If I'm part of it, you're part of it too. All right? And it brought such excitement to me that I needed to bring it to you because I want you to understand that we have begun our journey with God already in 2016. God has already come on the scene and he's already started to change and rearrange. He's already bringing new people in, new blood in, people, you know, that are not cold-hearted and people that have not been sitting in the house of God for 30 years and never changed. He's bringing in prisoners, really, that have been bound by Satan, and he's cleaned them up and he's using them. That's what he's doing. You know, and he can do that. I have found out that people sit in the house of God year after year after year, they become stone hard cold and they don't want to change. And God has been working with them, dealing with them, and he can't change them. So he has to bring in new blood. And that's what he's been doing, bringing in new blood. So I'm asking each one of you tonight, I want you to really just sit in your seat. Just think about being part of that new breed. You know, and God said that which is out of position, God is going to put it together. So there's things in your life that's been out of place. God wants to put it together. God wants to do a brand new thing to you tonight. He wants to bring you up into that higher realm where you can really grasp hold of this teaching and understand, I am part of the new breed. I am one of those that God can speak to, and I say, yes, Lord, your will, your way. And I will go wherever he tells me to go. I will do whatever he tells me to do. Doesn't matter what he tells me to go to a foreign field, I'll go to a foreign field. I'm just telling you what God's saying right now. If God asks me to go scrub the bathrooms, I'll go scrub the bathrooms. These people will come in unhindered by false religion. They'll come in ready to grab the reins and work with you and with God. Now, are you one of those people? Are you one of those people that are willing to do anything that God asks you to do? No matter how strange, how different, or how foreign, no matter what anybody says about you, no matter how they look at you, you're going to do what God's asked you to do. If you're one of those, I want you to come to the altar tonight because God wants to do a new thing within you tonight. God's saying, don't get lost in the shuffle of the everyday Christian. Don't get lost in the shuffle of the everyday Christian. He wants you to be unique. He wants you to be different. He wants you to be part of the new breed. He wants to sanctify you wholly tonight. You crossed over this morning. Now he wants to bring you into the promised land tonight. Let him have his perfect way with you as you lay out before him. Quit arguing with God. Quit saying, oh, well, you did this for somebody else. You didn't do this for me. Just let him do with you what he wants to do. We aren't clones. And God works with each one of us individually. I'm hearing God say, I am going to manifest myself to you people. I am going to show myself strong on your behalf. I am going to be there when you need me. He wants you to surrender all tonight. We sang that song, I Surrender. And he wants you to surrender all tonight. He wants you to come into that place of total dependence upon him. I'm just telling you what he's saying. You've been depending on your own self too long now. He wants you to just totally depend upon him. He's the author and the finisher of your life.